things that have been taught throughout the years is so messed up. People think that they're going to be good and go to heaven. We're going to be talking a little bit about our baptism this morning. And there's so many people that think that they're going to get baptized into heaven. You know, the doctrine is so messed up because people don't take time to read their Bibles. And today, sadly, Bible's not being taught in church anymore. They're not teaching salvation. You'd be surprised how many people, if you're out witnessing to people, and you present the plan of salvation, you'd be surprised how many people have been in church all their life and have never heard the plan of salvation. They'll tell you that. They'll tell you, I've never heard that. And I'm talking about somebody in the 50s or 60s, and they've never heard that. That's amazing to me. I'm like, how do you go to church and never hear the gospel? We was out soul winning one morning. I was out with the, matter of fact, it was during the soul winning marathon. And I had a chance to witness to this lady. And she was home, and she come to the door. And as soon as she answered the door, naturally the baby started to cry. And she stepped outside and shut the door. Once I told her why I was there, she just stepped outside and closed the door. And she wanted to hear what I had to say. And she had a pot on the stove. She says, let it burn. She didn't care. She wanted to hear what I had to say. And come to find out, they had just repossessed her car that night. So that morning, she couldn't go to work. And that was the only reason she was home. So I had a chance to present the Lord's plan of salvation. She accepted Christ. Amen. And it was an amazing thing. I mean, she sat there and cried. She said, you know, I'm glad that they took my car last night, because I was going to hell, didn't know it. And she was one of those people that had been in church all of her life and had never heard the plan of salvation. So that just kind of touches your heart, you know, when you have that opportunity. But you know something? If you don't present the plan to anybody, you'll never have that opportunity. Do you know that? It's something you get. And folks, we need to do that. And we're bad about not doing what we ought to do. I mean, you know, we go out to dinners and we don't leave a track. I mean, we're all guilty of that. I done that the other night. I'm like, man, we didn't even bring a track. Forgot a track. It's in such a hurry to get there, you know what I mean? And we just do things like that. That's just our nature. But folks, we need to get busy with it. So anyhow, we get back in our studies here. Last week, we was going through chapter 5, and we was looking a little bit, talking a little bit about how Christ had died for us and how he had pardoned us and justified us through his blood on the cross of Calvary. We talked about how he had gone to hell and paid for our sins, and we were reconciled back with him in full fellowship. And we've got all the way down to the part where we was talking about how sin entered into the world through one man, and how through one man, the Lord Jesus, how that sin was paid for. Amen. And folks, it's important that we understand that, because that keeps our doctrine straight. See, there's so many people today, still, and even in the Christian world, people get confused and they're worried about their salvation. They're like, well, you know, am I really saved? I mean, I know people have been saved 25 times. That's because the devil sits over here on your shoulder and he's telling you how bad you are. He's not lying to you. He's telling you the truth. And that's what bothers us, because we know that's the truth, don't we? We know how wicked we are. But when Jesus paid the price, he paid the price. He paid for all of our sin. He paid it in full. That sin debt's been paid. So it's important that we understand the doctrine. It's important that we understand that we're a sinner because of Adam. Sin entered into the world through one man. Well, think about that. If one man can bring sin upon all of us, because by Adam, all of us inherited that sin nature, how much more is God's grace? If Adam can cause all of us to be sinners, don't you think God's grace is more abundant? Amen. Sure it is. Amen. Sure it is. And we talked about that last week, how God's grace is more abundant than Adam's sin. Amen. And that grace is applied to us today. And if you look down here in chapter 5 and verse 18, it talks about the free gift. The free gift. So in other words, it's not something we earn. We don't earn it. We don't go to heaven because we're good. We don't go to heaven because we didn't commit a sin. We don't go to heaven because we were baptized. We go to heaven because it's a free gift. It's a gift that our Lord Jesus gave to us. And how do you get a gift? How do you receive a gift at Christmas time? Somebody gives you a gift. What do? You reach out and you take it. And it's the same way with the Lord Jesus. It is a free gift. You don't earn it. You don't work for it. You don't have to do anything but take it. You have to take that gift. And that's God's grace. What a blessing. What a tremendous blessing that is. We just need to get a hold of that. And I know I'm preaching to the choir this morning. I understand that. But I don't know about you, but I never get tired of hearing about it. It's a blessing to me. Every time I think about that free gift, God gave it to me. Sister Rodriguez was just talking about how God reached down. I mean, he reached down and grabbed me out of the pits of hell by his grace. What a blessing. And we need to carry that on through us, with us every day. And with that, we got up here to the obedience of one man. And then I talked a little bit about how people think that our Baptists say that we have a license to steal. You know, we feel that way because, hey, no matter what we do, our sin is paid for. And that's true. It is. It is paid for. When Jesus died on that cross over 2,000 years ago, he didn't pay for one of my sins. He didn't pay for the sin I committed yesterday. He paid for all my sin. He paid for my sins yesterday, today, and tomorrow. He paid for all of my sin. So whatever sin I commit, it is paid for. It is under the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. So with that being said, let's look at chapter 6. In verse 1, it says, "What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound?" See, that's where we get a license to steal, right? Folks, the more we sin, the more grace we receive. So with that being said, it's like, hey, look, I can just sin and I'm going to get more grace. That grace is going to be applied to that sin. And that's true. That's going to happen. But what does the Bible say about it? Look at verse 2. It says, "God forbid. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein?" Folks, we're supposed to be dead to sin. When you're saved and you're born again, you've given your life to Christ, we're dead to sin. So does that mean that we're supposed to live therein, just continue to sin? No, God forbid. I don't try to be good to go to heaven. I try to be good. I try to keep God's law because I'm going to heaven. You understand there's a difference. See, some people think that they're going to keep God's law. Even today, they still think that they're going to keep God's law. You and I cannot keep God's law. Right. We cannot do it. We're going to break God's law. But there's people today who still think that they're going to keep God's law and they're going to work their way to heaven. Well, that's not going to happen. We're going to break God's law. But do we just continue to break it, even because it's because God's grace is upon it? So because my sin is paid for, does that mean I should just go out and steal? Hey, I'm under grace. The law doesn't apply to me. No, God forbid. Because I am saved, I want to do right. Because I am saved, I'm doing right, or trying to do right, because I'm going to heaven, not to go to heaven. See, there's a big difference there, isn't there? So you say, I'm not trying to work my way to heaven. I'm just saying because of God's grace, he's been so good to me, I want to be good for him. I want to do all I can to keep his laws and to live according to his laws. God forbid, how shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? Know ye not that so many of us were baptized unto Jesus Christ, were baptized unto his death. What's it talking about, baptized unto his death? You understand that baptism is a picture of the Lord Jesus Christ and what he did on Calvary. You understand that, right? Baptism, when you're standing up, when we put you up here in this baptismal pool, and you're standing upright, that's representing Jesus on the cross. You're standing just like Jesus. And then when they submerge you and they dunk you down under that water, that is a picture of the death and the burial of the Lord Jesus Christ. And when you're brought up out of that water, that is a picture of the Lord Jesus' resurrection. That's what baptism is. You're telling the whole world on the outside what Jesus did for you on the inside. And what you're saying is, when you do that, you're saying, you're telling the world. And this is why baptism is so important. If you haven't been baptized, you need to be baptized.
Amen.
Because when you, through your baptism, you're telling the world, I believe the gospel. I believe in the death, the burial, and the resurrection of the Lord Jesus. Why would you be saved and not want to be baptized? I can't comprehend that. Any born-again believer should want to be baptized. You want to tell the world, I believe in the Lord Jesus. I believe that he died on that cross. I believed that he was buried. And I believe that he was resurrected.
That's right.
Why would you not want to share that with everybody in the world? And that's what baptism is. And that's why Baptists don't believe in sprinkling. How do you halfway die? Jesus wasn't halfway buried. He was buried. Jesus didn't halfway die. Jesus didn't stop breathing for, 30 seconds. He died. The Bible says he gave up the ghost. He died. He was physically dead in this human body. He was as dead gets. He died. And then he came back to life. He was resurrected. And then when we're baptized, we're telling the whole world that we believe that. That's a picture of what Jesus did for us. And in that, what's that verse say? Know ye not that so many of us as were baptized unto Jesus Christ were baptized unto his death. Now wait a minute. What's it telling us right there? It's telling us that when we got saved and we got baptized, we're being baptized unto his death. In other words, just like Jesus, we're dead. Now, ours is a spiritual death. But we're supposed to be dead just like Jesus died. Now what he's trying to tell us is, how does a dead man sin? If you died and you were buried today, are you going to sin anymore? No. You can't sin. You're dead. You're buried. So what's he telling? He's trying to tell us here that we died with Christ. So just like Jesus died, we died. So if we're dead, how are we going to sin? Now see, we don't think about that, do we? But when we got saved, we died. The old flesh died. We took on the new.
Amen.
Right?
Amen.
But we still live defeated lives. In other words, smoking. If you're hooked on smoking, you don't have to be. You don't have to be. You're dead to sin. Sin no longer has a grasp on you. See, we choose to serve that sin. That's our choice. It's not because we have to. Because all the old things were passed away, all things become new. So we're new creatures in Christ. So what he's saying is, what he's trying to tell us here, that we're not supposed to live in sin. And us being born again creatures, we're not subject to that sin anymore. And is it tough? Sure, it's tough. Some people have drug problems. Some people have alcoholic problems. That's why I don't like the AAA, AAA, Alcoholics Anonymous Association. Because they'll tell you, once you're an alcoholic, you're always an alcoholic. I don't believe that. My Bible doesn't tell me that. My Bible says I can be freed from that sin. And through the Lord Jesus Christ, I am freed from that burden. I can lay that burden down at his feet and he'll take it up for me. We have to choose to do that. We have to live with him. We have to die with him first. And so many of us as Christians, we get born again, but we don't want to die to self. We don't want to bury ourselves in Christ. And people, that's what we need to do. Why do we have all the bickering and backbiting that goes on? And you know what I'm talking about. All the gossip that goes on. All the things in our lives, all these sins, all the bad things that we allow in our life, we allow. Because it does not have to be there. Jesus paid for that. We were made new creatures. Our problem is that we're so self-centered. I think I said a couple of weeks ago, I was talking about how selfish we are as a people. And we are. We're selfish. Everything's about me. And just like today, everything, you know, that's why it's so easy for this pandemic to take over people. Because everything's about me. Always about me. Me. Instead of what's right by what God says. And if we would die to Christ, we could better live for him. Amen. Amen. What verse did I stop in? 3?
Yes, verse 3.
Verse 4. Therefore, we are buried with him by baptism unto death. And like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we should also walk in the newness of life. You hear them when they're up here baptizing. When they baptize somebody and they submerge them, they say, buried in his likeness. Likeness of what? Death. Raised to what? Walk in the newness of life. So just like Christ died and was buried, they buried all of him. You understand that, right? We're dead just like Christ was. Raised to walk in the newness of life. So at that moment, we have a new spirit upon us. We're new creatures in the Lord Jesus. We're no longer burdened by that sin. But see, folks, this is what we do. We keep picking it back up. We keep picking it back up and carrying it around with us. It's kind of like dragging around old luggage. But that's what we're doing. We just don't want to let go. It reminds me one time, and I'm pretty sure it was Pastor Carter one time, was talking about a monkey. Some people were hunters, or I think it was over in Africa, were hunting monkeys. And it was so easy to catch them. And this is what they do. They take a jar with a small hole in the top of it, and they'd put food in the jar, and then they would tie the jar down to something where they couldn't drag it off. And what the monkey would do, the monkey would go over there and stick his hand down in the jar to grab the food. And then they'd come catch the monkey. But the monkey is so greedy. The monkey would not let go of that food to free himself. All the monkey had to do was let go of the food and take off. But he won't do it. He will not let go of that food. And you know, so many of us today are doing the same thing. We got our hand in the jar and we got a hold to that sin and we won't let go. The monkey to be freed, set free, all the monkey had to do was let go. And you know, today, we're that way in religion. We got so many religions out there today are teaching false doctrines. And people will not let go. They're hanging on so tight to it. And there's no basis for it. There's no foundation for it. They don't have anything to go by, anything to set what they're believing in is true. It's not truth, and they don't have anything to say that it is. But yet, when you try to show them the truth and try to teach them the gospel, they're still hanging on to that old. They won't let go. And they're trapped. And they're going to hell because of it. But sadly, there's a lot of Christians who got their hand in the same jar. And they can't let go of whatever it is that's got a hold to them. They won't let go of it. Folks, all we got to do is turn it loose. Turn it loose. Let it go. God will take care of it. I know people, I know smoking is a hard thing. I used to be a smoker. Probably y'all might not know that. Shouldn't tell you that. But I used to smoke. And it's hard to quit. It's hard to quit smoking. And I remember telling my wife one time, can you imagine a drug addict? If it's so hard for somebody who smokes to quit, can you imagine how hard it would be for a drug addict? What a horrible thing to be going through. But see, with Jesus, it'll get done. If you trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, it will get done. If you'll give it to him and trust him with it, he'll take it from you. And I've heard people say, well, I've tried that. No, you hadn't. Because if you'll truly give it to him, he'll take it up from you. Amen. But see, it starts right in here in his heart. You know, you got to let go. You got to let go. Get your hand out of the jar. See, we want to continue to live in sin, so that grace may abound. That's not where we're supposed to be. We need to let go of it. That was verse 4. Therefore, we are buried with him by baptism unto death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in the newness of life. Folks, when Jesus died and went to hell and paid for our sin, you understand, he was sinless, and he took on our sin. He took on my sin on the cross of Calvary, and he took on your sin. And he took that sin and he buried it. As far as the east is from the west. How far is that? Long ways, isn't it? But do you understand that when we got born again and we're baptized into Christ, do you understand we're supposed to separate ourselves from that sin? Jesus paid for it and buried it. Now we're supposed to separate ourselves from that sin just as far as he separated us from it. Folks, we're supposed to flee from it. And then instead of living in that life of sin, we're supposed to be serving the Lord Jesus Christ. We're supposed to be living in the newness of life. We're supposed to be living in his glory, in his grace. But it's by our choice. It's a free choice. Even though we're saved, we still have to make decisions. And it's up to us to do that. Our problem is we can sit here and we can read the book and we can study the book. Yeah, amen, amen, amen. That's right. And then as soon as we walk out that door, we lay it all behind us and we pick up the old burdens again and move on. That's what we do with our lives every day. We got to learn to let them go. We got to learn to turn them loose. And when we get outside that door, we need to hang on to what we had in here. We need to hang on to the book and the truth. Folks, people are walking around and they think they're walking in truth. I mean, I don't want to talk about any religions, but I'm sorry, but the Catholics, God bless them. I love every one of them. And some of them are saved and going to heaven, but there's a lot of them going to hell because they just can't let go. And they won't take time for themselves. I don't understand this, folks. We're talking about your soul going to heaven or hell. Amen. I don't know about you, but I would think that's rather important. And people won't take 15 minutes of their time to check out a truth. They won't take time to check something out to see whether it's true or false. But Father so-and-so said, okay, so you're going to let him send you right straight to hell because that's what's happening. Rather than searching out the truth for ourselves, we listen to so-and-so. Nobody should be in this room listening to me and taking my word for anything except for what comes out of this scripture right here. Amen. That's truth, what comes out of the book. And it's our responsibility to make sure that we're getting the truth. And how about our children? Folks, the reason the world the way it is today is because we haven't taken time to pass the truth to our children. If we were passing the truth to our children, they would be on the right foundation. Right. They would be believing the truth and walking on the right path. But we lead by example. And we set the examples for our children. And unfortunately, we're not setting the proper examples. And even today, most of us in here, I guess, you know, we're grandparents and great-grandparents. But you're still setting the example. Trust me, your grandchildren got their eyes on you when they're around. They watching Nana, Mama, Papa. And you still have tremendous influence. And of course, today in the world, you know, you're a little nutty. You know, Grandpa goes to church, Nana, Mama go to church. Well, they're weird people. That's okay. Amen. If my grandchild is being raised like that, then I want him to think I'm weird. Amen. You know, but I want him to know that I believe what I say I believe. And I live what I say I believe. And that's what we need to do as Christians, right? Verse 6. Knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. Folks, we don't have to serve it. It's been destroyed. It's dead. So if we're serving it now, it's by choice. We were born with a sin nature. We can't help that. We learned that over in chapter 5. We learned that our sin nature was inherited from Adam. But then Jesus came along and destroyed that. Folks, it's up to us. We serve who we choose to. In verse 7, for he that is dead is freed from sin. Folks, if we believe what we're reading, if we believe that we're dead with Christ, then we're freed from that sin. Now, if we be dead with Christ, we believe that he shall also live with him. So just like we died with him, we live with him. So what we're supposed to do, we're supposed to be like Christ. We're supposed to lay the old man down, we pick up the new man, and we move on, and we live with the Lord Jesus Christ. And folks, my time's, man, almost gone already. Go to Genesis. I want to show you something because there's so many people. So before our time runs out, go to Genesis chapter 7. I'm going to show you something. I hear so many people all the time. People think, well, I got saved, but that was a long time ago. And I've done a lot of bad things since then. So, you know, they think they need to get resaved. Okay? And there's a lot of Christians today. Like I said earlier, the old devil's sitting on the shoulder telling you how bad you are. And he's not lying to you. He's telling you the truth. You're just that bad. Well, we don't get unsaved. We're still born again. We're still saved. God's grace is still good. Amen? So, you know, we have a license to steal, but we're not supposed to use them, right? All right, look at chapter 7. And look at verse 5. I believe it's verse 5. Well, maybe it's not verse 5. I probably got it written down here. I guess it's verse 1. Look at verse 1. And the Lord said unto Noah, come thou and all thy house into the ark, for thee I have seen righteousness before me in this generation. Now, I want you to notice that he said come. He didn't say go. He said come. So if he's telling Noah to come into the ark, where's he at? He's got to be in the ark, right? Now, we know as we read the story, we know the story about the ark. We know the flood's coming. We know the people were destroyed. But Noah was saved, wasn't he? Noah and his family. They were saved. So their ark was their salvation. Today, who is our salvation? Jesus. Jesus is our ark. Now, look over in verse 16. It says, and they that went in male and female of all flesh, as God had commanded him, and the Lord shut him in. Now, let me ask you something. Do you think there's anything in this world or out of this world that could have opened that door? God sealed that door. God shut him in. Nobody was taking him out of that ark. He was as safe as anything could possibly be as far as being safe. You can't be any safer. And you understand today in our salvation, when we believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and we're born again, we're sealed in the Lord Jesus Christ. God has shut us in and we can't get out. Nothing can take away our salvation. It's ours. It belongs to us. It's ours to keep. Do we sin? Yes, we sin. But because of Jesus and his great grace is paid for. Am I going to sin again tomorrow? Yeah, I'm probably going to sin again tomorrow. But that sin is paid for. And as we read through the book of Romans, you're going to see over and over and over again, you're going to read and you're going to see that they're talking about God's grace and God's goodness and the free gift. It's repetitive, constantly telling you, Jesus is our Savior and he's ours for keeps. Nobody's taking him away. And it's important that you understand that. Because you know, the more that you know and the more you believe in your own salvation, the easier it is for you to tell somebody else about Jesus. See, when I go out to tell somebody about Jesus, I don't care what their theology is. I don't care how smart they are. It doesn't matter how much education they have. I know that I'm right. See, I know that what I've got is the truth. Amen. They're the ones that's confused. And it's okay that they think I'm a nut. I really don't care. Amen. I'm just trying to show them, look, this is your opportunity. This is God's grace. And just like the sin curse passed upon every man, God's grace is the same way. It passed upon every man. It's up to you to accept that free gift. So when I go out soul winning, I'm not a bit shy. If they don't want to believe me, that's their option. Now, I do try to present ourselves in a friendly manner. I don't want to go up there and tell the man, hey, you're Catholic. You're going to hell because you're Catholic. I mean, what are they going to do? They put a wall up. You know what I mean? They don't want to hear you. That's not the way you witness to people. You're supposed to love them. You love the people. You know, they're sinners just like you and I. They were born into the sin-cursed world. And it's because of what Adam did. And we have to realize that. We should know that better than anybody. We believe the book, right? So we should be good soul winners. And people, today we need to be soul winners. We need to be out. And soul winning still works. When you talk to just a little over 1,000 people and you get 400 people that gives their life to Christ, man, that's awesome. That's almost 50%. That's amazing. So people do want to hear the gospel. Now imagine if every one of us was over there presenting the gospel. How many people would have been saved then? And that's people that would be going to heaven. God's creation. And I know when you look at Pelosi, we don't want her in heaven. You know what I'm saying? That's our attitude sometimes. But that shouldn't be our attitude, should it? It should be like, you know, God needs to save that woman.
Amen.
Can you imagine if God was to reach down and save that woman? Can you imagine? That's just hard to even fathom. It's hard to even wrap your mind around that one. But God can do it. And that's another soul that would be in heaven. And what a victory that would be for the Lord Jesus. Amen.
Amen.
All right, time's up this morning. God bless you.